part of our life that's just between us and him, and then how eventually as we grow, that those things start to spill out and spill over into other parts of our life. And that's where we get to the working of the Holy Spirit. And we look through that, and then now we're looking at how he has gifted us. And the gift of discernment is not mentioned in Romans 12, but I want to read Romans 12 as we have the last several weeks we started here, because it reminds us of the purpose of these gifts, which is that we might serve the Lord in the local church. So Romans 12, look with me down in verse number 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we've looked at all these gifts, and now if you will just flip over to 1 Corinthians 12, and just so we can see where the gift of discernment is mentioned. And actually, discernment of the Spirit is actually mentioned many, many places in the Scriptures, but it's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 along with the gift. So 1 Corinthians 12, just look at verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Okay, so he's giving us this great truth here that there's one Spirit, one Lord, right? There's one purpose, there's one goal, right? But there's many gifts. Different people are gifted differently. And we've looked at, you got pastors and teachers. You've got people with the gift of helps that are really really servants. You got people with the gift of, say, mercy, who are very compassionate. And there's all these different gifts, and they all work to bring about the Lord's will in our lives and through the local church in particular. Okay, so that's really what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians 12. And then he mentions some of the gifts. And now remember, and I don't want to have to go back to like 12 weeks ago, but our very first lesson, we dealt with the miraculous gifts, the signs and wonders types gifts. And there's some of those mentioned here. And just recall to mind that there was a purpose for those while the Bible was still being written. But once the completion of the Word of God was done, then those gifts have ceased. And so what we have now are what I'm calling the practical gifts of the Spirit that are still here. So we're not speaking in tongues today. We're not prophesying like they did in times of old. But we do have giftedness of the Spirit that we're able to use for the Lord's glory. So look at now verse number 8. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, we'll look at that one next week, by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing. Okay, so there's one of those miraculous gifts by the same Spirit. We don't have that today. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. And that's what we're looking at today, is this gift of discernment. Now, I believe that there was sort of a miraculous gift of gift of discernment. But it's listed here in the gifts, and I want to give attention to it today, because I'll just say this. I really believe, and I think I put this in your notes under the definition of the gift of discernment, that this should be an everyone gift. I mean, every Christian needs discernment. And so there's some gifts, like the Romans 12 gifts in particular are, I believe, the main gifts of the Spirit. You know, teaching, prophecy, giving, ruling or administration, mercy, helps. Those are all our ministry. Those are all those main gifts. And then you have what I said last week, you might call supplemental gifts. So if you're gifted with the gift of teaching, it's very likely that God's also gifted you with the gift of knowledge, which is here, because to teach, you have to have knowledge. With the gift of, the gift of the prophet, very likely that prophet is gifted with this gift too, discernment. And so they work together. And so really just going to look at the idea of discernment and how God has gifted people with that gift. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our lesson this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd help us as we just look at really the idea of discernment and being discerning people. Lord, we thank you for those who are especially gifted with discernment that just seems like they're in tune with the Holy Spirit in such a way that they can really point out when there's error or truth, and And Lord, we just pray today that you'd help us to learn this. But Lord, also just help us all to be more discerning. I believe there's a command in the scriptures for us all to use discernment and to live by the Holy Spirit. And so whatever our gifts are that you've gifted us with, Lord, we can all be more discerning and listen to your Holy Spirit better. So help us to learn. We pray you bless the lesson and in our time together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I'll read you the introduction here. The gift of discernment is given to the church to protect the church from false teachers and deceivers. Okay. Satan is a deceiver. And ever since the fall of man, of course, back there in the Garden of Eden, that's how he deceived Eve there. And like I said in the notes there, brought a counterfeit message, you know, thou shalt not surely die. And the next thing you know, he was found to be a liar when they ate of that fruit. And then they fell. And so God has given us discernment so that we can spot a lie, so that we can spot false teaching or deceivers. So again, we should be able to point out when we're hearing preaching and it's not lining up with the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit has taught us, there should be a discerning spirit in us to say, this isn't right. Even if we don't know maybe the answer, maybe you've heard someone talk and you can't recall a Bible verse or the scripture that would back you up, but you're just thinking, this isn't right. I mean, they're off somehow or another. That is discernment that the Holy Spirit gives. Turn to 1 John chapter number 4, and this is why I say I believe that, and I said this with all the gifts. No matter what our gift is, let's say we have the gift of exhortation, for example. That does not excuse us from the responsibilities of the other gifts. Now, we may not be gifted givers, but we should still give. Right? We may not be gifted teachers, but we should still, again, we're supposed to be helping to disciple and teach others. And so no matter where we find ourselves in our walk, we should always be growing in the gifts. Now, the gift of discernment is a little bit unique in that we're actually all commanded to have a discerning spirit. And really what that means is that we're going to listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting. We're gonna be in tune with him in such a way that when he warns us of something, our ears are gonna perk up and we're gonna know this isn't right. So look at 1 John 4, and I'm preaching through 1 John on Sunday afternoons, and so I'm gonna try real hard not to preach this because I wouldn't get to preach it in a few weeks. I'd probably just do it again. But anyway, 1 John 4, look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. That's a good place to start, by the way. You know, there's a lot of falsehood in the world, and there's a lot of liars out there. There's a lot of false teaching and preaching, and I feel like when I was younger, I didn't really have access to all that false teaching and preaching, because all I knew in the spiritual realm was we went to church, and I knew that in our church there wasn't any of those things, and you really didn't tune into anyone else's church, right, because you didn't have a thing to tune in with. But these days, there's literally false teaching at our fingertips. It's led many believers astray. So the first, I think, point is just this: believe not every spirit. You may not know this, but not everything on the internet is true. You know, if you didn't know that, I've just opened up your whole world that you got to be careful out there. In fact, most of what's on the internet, if you look at the statistics, is pretty scary stuff. I've just innocently enough been watching, and this is one of the things that I would love to fix. I don't know how to do it just yet, but even on our website. So on our website, we post all the sermons and the lessons and everything on there. And so if you go to the website and you pull up a sermon from last week, and which I don't know why you would, because I can't stand the sound of my voice. I've listened to some of the, I have to edit them, and I'm going, who listens? I feel for you people every week, by the way, I do. But anyway, if you go on there, all of our messages are there. If you missed something, you go on there and you listen. And when you're done with watching the video, because it's a YouTube link, it actually pops up some videos at the bottom, like some suggestions that you should listen to. And I mean, every time I edit and I look and I pause it and it pops up, I look at those videos, and sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, I hope that one doesn't pop up with someone's watch. Because there's not everything that pops up there is related to us or to the scriptures. And so what I'm saying is it's really easy to find false information. So believe not every spirit. That's why we have to be discerning. But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So just as a, and by the way, I believe 1 John is written to maybe some younger believers in the church, because he continuously calls us little children as you read through the book there. And so even younger Christians have the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. He indwells you, and you have as much of the Holy Spirit as you're ever going to get just from the moment that you're saved. So you have this person of of God living in you that is able to, and it says, if we're of God, we can hear him. This is how we hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that is this idea of being discerning. So the purpose of the gift is quite obvious. It's to protect us from deception and false teaching, which is an important thing, and not just for our day and time. There's a lot of things a lot of false doctrine that gets into churches, and it causes lots of problems, and it leads people astray. And God does not want us to be deceived. He doesn't want us to be carried away, as the Bible says, by every wind of doctrine. So we need some discernment. We need to know when something is right or wrong. And thankfully, God's given us a book that spells it all out. And so as I try to point out many times as I'm preaching, God will always work through his word and the Holy Spirit. And those things will always agree in one. They're never going to contradict one another. So if you hear a teacher or a preacher and they say something about, this isn't in the Bible, but, well, let's just stop right there, because they've already sort of messed up the whole premise. I know that what the Bible says, however, you know, or if they're even taking a passage and trying to take it out of context or change it, we need to be discerning about that and understand that the Holy Spirit is going to stick with the truth that God has given. So in the church, there are going to be those that are particularly gifted with the gift of discernment. And this is true, because I've seen it happen where, and thankfully it wasn't on anything just majorly doctrinally wrong, but I've seen this happen a few times where there's some teaching happening in a church or some preaching happening in a church, and the teaching or preaching is not quite lining up with the Word of God. I saw it in a Sunday school class one time that I was in, and I was sitting there, and I was just stirring in my pew, because I'm like, this is not right. In fact, I'll just tell you what it was about. It was in the book of, well, actually in several places, the Lord tells his disciples, if you go into a town and you preach the gospel and they reject the gospel, okay? Then he says, go to the edge of town and kick the dust off of your feet, right? And then go to the next town. And what is he saying there? He's saying, you know what? Their punishment will be upon them for their lack of belief or the rejection of me. So I don't know how to put it in our language today, but when you say kick the dust off your feet, it's almost like don't look back, right? They've chosen, they've rejected, now we're moving on. Well, this teacher, he was teaching that the reason they didn't accept the message is because you didn't clean your feet before you came in and talked to them. And so he was saying we need to, you know, it's not a message of destruction and it's not a message of condemnation. It's that you need to be more polite when you enter in and talk to people. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm just like, you know, I don't want to be that guy in the class. It's just a Sunday school class, but I'm sitting there going, oh man, we're getting this way wrong. And it's not like a heaven or hell thing in that lesson time. You understand the people that were in the room. But what I noticed was, it seemed as if I was the only one that noticed that there was this, that we had really missed the target. Everyone else after class is getting up and getting coffee and having a good time, and that was great and all this. And I'm going, man, we really missed it here. And there may have been some others that were just, maybe they're just better people than me and they just kept it in. That's probably what it was. But I just thought there's a whole lot of people that either aren't listening or they're just not discerning, you know. It could be one of the two. And so there are folks that you know, when a message is preached, it's going to be that some just, they're not discerning to grab it, and there's others that are, and we need people in our church who are discerning. In fact, I'll just say, if I'm preaching and you know, every now and then someone will come and they'll have a question about something that was said or a verse or this or that. And listen, I welcome that, because I'm not here to propagate something that I believe. I'm here to propagate what the Bible says. And so if we're off on the scriptures, well, we need to clarify that, you know, we are line back up with the scriptures. And so again, it's good to have that check in the church of those discerning people who will, you know, be in tune with what's true. All right, so there's several Bible characters who had this gift. In fact, we can just turn here. We have time this morning. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter number 6. Nehemiah 6. And so if you know the story and you've read Nehemiah, maybe you haven't read it recently, but Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem after the return of the Babylonian captivity. And as you could imagine, and Nehemiah is a great book to read and look at, anytime someone's going to do a work for the Lord, there is going to be opposition. In fact, if you're working for the Lord and there's zero opposition, and there's never any trial or tribulation, no one ever comes up and tries to stand in your way, it may be a good indication that you're not really doing a work of the Lord. Because anytime someone's moving forward for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. So that was the case with Nehemiah. They're building the wall. And if you remember, we won't take the time to look at it all, but they had to build the wall with basically a hammer in one hand and a sword in the other. They had to have their weapons girded on at all times because the opposition was so great. And yet they were going to build the walls of Jerusalem. And in Nehemiah 6, the enemies of Nehemiah had basically tried everything. And if you look at verse 1, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors on the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And so these guys are the enemies here in the book, and they're trying to get Nehemiah and those guys in trouble at every turn. And so they've kind of tried everything. They've tried like the route with the leadership at the time, but now they're really just trying to trick Nehemiah into not working. Look down to verse number 10, for example. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet. Now, listen, this is going to sound really nice here. He says, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. He says, Nehemiah, these enemies are too great. They're going to come and kill you. Let's go to the temple and let's just go in there. I mean, that's God's house after all. Let's go in there and let's shut ourselves in. That way they won't come kill us. Verse 11. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, here's what Nehemiah says. I perceived. That word perceived has a lot to do with discerning. Okay, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore, he was hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. So here's an instance where, you know, we don't see in the text that God came to Nehemiah and said, hey, this guy's going to show up. He's going to have this great plan, but it's really bad news. You need to be aware of this. No, here's just, Nehemiah's just walking with God, and he's just in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he's just building the walls of Jerusalem. He knows he's not supposed to be hiding. He knows he's supposed to be building. And so this guy comes along and supposed to be his friend, but was hired by the enemy, and Nehemiah perceives it. That's discernment. Something's not right. This person is trying to lead me astray. So there's an example. Look over to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. And each of the situations that I picked here have to do with where someone is trying to deceive. And then the Lord gives discernment through the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5, if you're familiar with the book of Acts, you know, we're talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And they sold a possession and gave it to the church. They had just seen some of the other apostles do that. Barnabas, for example, sold some land, gave it to the church. So now they come along and you know, Peter, he loves the church. Think about it. Peter is one of the disciples of the Lord. He loves the church. At the time, the church is exploding with new converts. And I mean, they got a lot of ministry going on. There's people being saved left and right and baptized and added to the church. And I mean, the church is growing and having some growing pains. So you know what helps churches in times like that? Finances, right? That helps. And so, you know, people are selling land, like Barnabas selling his land. And of course, he's going to go be a missionary. So he sells his land and gives it to the church. And the preacher is praising the Lord, right? And then another family, Ananias and Sapphira, they come and they sell some land and they give the money to the church. And you know, you would think Peter would be very happy about that, right? But he wasn't. In fact, notice what it says. Well, we know the Bible. So Peter didn't have Acts 5 to read before he, you understand? He just had people coming to the church and giving money. I mean, just think today, if someone walked in the door and they said, Pastor, we sold this thing that we had and we're going to give all this money to the church. I would have no other information. And so as a pastor, you know what you're going to think? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, we can buy a new copier, right? No, not, maybe that's not what Peter was thinking, but that would have been what I was thinking as I wrestled with the copier again yesterday. I just want you to, I'm going to keep complaining, not complaining. It's not complaining. What is it? I'm going to keep discussing that issue until we get one. But anyway, no, think about the because we read the story, we're like, oh, Ananias and Sapphira, those jokers, we know all about their lies. Peter didn't. He just knew they were coming, giving a very large sum of money to the church. He had no reason to be condemning to them or call them out, but he was walking with the Holy Spirit, and he knew there's something not right here. In fact, the Holy Spirit gave him great discernment. Now, look what it says. And Peter said, Ananias, thank you for your gift. Here's your contribution report. No. He said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? What he's saying is, you didn't have to lie about this. You could have kept back part of the, keeping back part of the land wasn't the problem. You could have kept all of it and given 10%, your tithe. The issue is you've lied to the Holy Ghost. And you know the story. Ananias dies. His wife dies as well because of their lie. So that's some spiritual discernment. Now, I don't know that we're going to have the same sort of discernment and be able to really figure those exact details out like Peter did. There were some special things going on in the book of Acts there. But I'm telling you this, God can give you discernment concerning truth and error. He can do that. In Acts chapter number 16, there's an example of the Apostle Paul. We'll look at it real quick. Acts chapter number 16. Oh, I went all the way to Romans. That's too far. Again, now, Paul didn't write the book of Acts, but he didn't have the book of Acts at his disposal, okay? He's going around, he's just gotten out of prison. He's about to go into prison. But he's on a missionary journey here. And in verse number 16 says, it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now just pause for a second. The Bible's giving us information that wasn't on us. It was not on a sandwich board on her person. She wasn't walking around saying, I'm possessed with the spirit of divination, and I do this divination by these evil spirits, and then my masters are getting all this money for it. We're reading that, but the disciples just see a woman standing there, okay? Verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, is there anything obnoxious about that message? It seems as if she's like, hey, these guys, these are great. These guys are actually men of God, and they're giving us a way of salvation. But what she was doing, and I don't know if it was like she was making fun of them, but she was following them obnoxiously, crying this behind them, in so much that she did this many days, verse 18. And it says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Notice, not to the woman. Okay, discerning spirits. Said to the Spirit, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. You see, he said, there's something false in this message. And the words seem to be good, but the spirit behind it was wrong. All right? So I pointed this one out because there's this thing about false teaching. They don't tell you that it's false teaching. Okay? No. They don't tell you. Now, listen, this is way off the mark, but I want to tell you some of my thoughts and theories. No, it's always disguised as truth. It's always disguised as, no, this is good for you. And I'm telling you, I've heard some really slick false teachers take a Bible verse or two and make it sound very good. And if you're not careful, lead you astray. So there has to be some amount of spiritual discernment that goes beyond just hearing the words that they're saying. Okay, so that's why I point this one out. Now, look in Matthew 24 as well. Just look back to Matthew 24. And of course, the context of Matthew 24 is the tribulation period, and specifically Israel in the tribulation period. But I just want you to see that God is going to give special discernment to them during the tribulation period regarding false prophets and false Christ. And so again, how would they have this knowledge? How would they not be deceived? Well, because he's going to give them spiritual discernment. So look in verse number 23. Matthew 24, verse 23. Therefore, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, how is it impossible that they would be deceived? Well, because they have discernment, right? He says this, though. Look at verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. It's almost like, remember what was written, okay? Remember what I've already told you. A new teaching that takes you away from what you already know the Bible says is false, right? Remember what I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto thee, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Does this say anywhere in the Bible the Lord's going to show up in the desert? No. It tells us here in verse number 27 how he's going to return. As lightning cometh out of the east and shineth to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. All right, so they need to be, I guess I should read, go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers. The second coming of Christ, we're not talking about the rapture here, by the way, it's the second coming. And the second coming of Christ is not going to be a secret event. In fact, it says this, every eye shall see him. Okay, so come over here and see Christ, he's in a secret place. Nope. It's not what the scriptures say. So he's going to refer the Jews back to what they know the scriptures say. He's going to use his Holy Spirit to do that. These are all good examples of what it means to have spiritual discernment. All right, so let's jump through our characteristics then on your notes. So I think you were supposed to fill out Nehemiah, Peter, Paul, and then Israel, those blanks. And then as far as the characteristics go, you just have a few of these. And remember, the characteristics just kind of help us to understand what the spiritual gift is like, and some of the misunderstandings as well. So the first one there, the gift of discernment gives believers special insight and understanding, thus enabling them to recognize false teachings. That's the primary reason. It's good that we have, as Ephesians 4 says, pastors and teachers to help us with that. But every believer ought to be able to say, this isn't right. You know, the Holy Spirit is telling me this isn't right. I've had people come just in counseling. I'm blessed to be able to counsel and talk to a lot of people. And I've had people that come and say, I was told this. I don't know how to explain it, but I just don't feel like it's right. And it's a great thing because you're like, good. You sidestepped a problem there. And now let me show you in the Bible why it is this way or whatever. So yeah, enables us to recognize false teaching. Number two there, it is the ministry of those with the gift of discernment to separate biblical truth from error. Again, we're not talking about, anyone speaks long enough, they're going to misspeak, okay? Because you could probably go back in all the recordings I have and probably find multiple things in every, I'm working on a pretty redneck vocabulary up here, okay? So sometimes, I don't get everything just perfect. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about biblical truth and error, okay? And those things that would lead people away from the Lord. All right, number three. The Spirit's gift of discernment empowers some of God's people to unmask false prophets and carnal hypocrites. We could use Jesus for every one of the gifts, but just read the Gospels. The Lord walks around unmasking everybody. That's omniscient. He knows everything, Number four. God uses people with the gift of discernment to reveal to his church whether or not a manifestation of the other spiritual gifts is of God or not. I would hope if someone, began to speak in tongues this morning, there would be people that said, oh, no. That's not of God. Why is it not of God? Well, because we've read our Bibles. We're going to remember what we've learned. We know what the scriptures say about that gift. Okay, so it's just a check in the church. Number five, people with the gift of discernment are able to distinguish between right and wrong in complex spiritual matters. Very similar to the gift of wisdom in that way. But again, just that, it's just like what John tells us in 1 John, try the spirits, whether they be true. Okay, a couple of misunderstandings, precautions. Just have a couple here. I'm sure you could probably think of some more, but we do use the misunderstandings and precautions to help us if we have the gift to be careful of things that could happen, or if we don't have the gift how we view the people that have the gift. So number one, the gift of discernment can easily deteriorate into a critical, proud, or self-righteous spirit. It's kind of like the gift of wisdom or even the gift of the teacher. It's easy to get prideful with the gifts God's given. And then number two, people with the gift of discernment are often seen as judgmental, which they are, right? Judge righteous judgment. That's what the Bible says. I know it says, judge not, that ye be not judged. You just need to read the rest of Matthew 7, because all the other verses tell you how to judge properly. And so, we have to judge right and wrong. It's one of those things, no one likes to be judged, right? No one likes to be told you're wrong. We often will point and say, man, these people are just judgmental. I'm going to preach in the morning's message on Exodus 21 and 22, and I'm not going to give it away, but I promise you, you want to judge yourself here and not there, okay? And so we need this discernment. And then I put a, where do those with discernment serve best in the church? And honestly, members of all, members everywhere in the church should be discerning and growing in discernment, but certainly pastors, teachers, leaders, deacons, trustees, those absolutely need to have discernment. But really, you're teaching little kids in Sunday school, you need discernment, You're helping with VBS and, you need discernment, okay? So it's something that we all need to grow in. All right, so that's our gift of discernment. We'll stop there this morning, and then next week we'll look at the gift of faith, and then I'm going to have to find something else to teach because that'll be the end of the series. So let's pray, and we'll have about 15 minutes before service starts. Lord, thank you for your word, and Lord, thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit, Father, and we know that they work together to lead us into truth, and we're grateful that you haven't left us without a light and left us without some direction. And so, Lord, we're thankful for the discernment that you give. I pray that we would all be more discerning people so that we would not be moved about with false doctrine, and so that we could just keep on the straight and narrow as the Bible lays it all out for us. We pray that you continue to bless the day today. Lord, be with us in the morning service here in just a moment. Be with those that are still making their way here. And Lord, we just pray you'd bring all your people together today. And Father, that you would be honored in what we do. And we pray that your word would do a work in us and your spirit would have free course to move in our hearts as he will. And so, Lord, we just pray for your blessing on the whole day. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.